This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Live in studio, another gloomy day. It is Tuesday. I'm just waiting for the sun to start poking through. I thought April was supposed to be the dreary month, but apparently that's just bled into May. Darren, how you doing, though?
I am doing good. You know, April showers is supposed to bring May flowers. That's what they told us growing up when I was in school. Doing pretty good, man. Looking forward to a big show that we're going to do tomorrow on the road. Sterling and I, we will be out at the Monarchs. We're going to be doing media day out there, but we're going to also be doing our show live from out there tomorrow. So we'll be joined by the owner of the Kansas City Monarchs, Mr. Brandmeier. He's going to join us on the show. Mark Brandmeier is going to join us on the show tomorrow. We'll probably have some other guests on there, either a coach or a player, but really looking forward to see some of the upgrades that they've done out there. Try some of the little food stuff that they're going to be having, for fans and stuff. And just really looking forward to, we're just out there Sunday, in that area Sunday. So really looking forward to talking with Mr. Brandmeier and just seeing, what they have in store this upcoming year for the Monarchs.
Yeah, I'm excited. The rebrand is looking pretty dang cool. I'm not going to lie. The rebrand looks awesome. It looks like they have the financials in the past in the rearview mirror. Remember that? A couple years ago
but I think what was going on then was the city was responsible for paying the bill or something like
something
that.
Something weird happened, but I think there's going to be Monarchs baseball. There's going to be Kansas City baseball that's not the Royals.
I don't know anything about the name Brandmeier, but he's not going to be an issue.
Something's going to be getting done here in a positive light. Hopefully that's the goal. Fun fact, my mom used to be the announcer for like a season or two.
What didn't your mom do,
for play-by-play? I know, right? She was a play-by-play announcer for like 2 years with the T-Bones. And as a kid, the one thing I always remembered was they were sponsored by Krieger Glass. So every single foul ball, they had to say, and that's another window for Krieger Glass. But you know how foul balls can happen, six, seven times in at a bat, yeah. Long at bats. So each time, though, you would still have to say, that's another another piece of glass for a Krieger Glass, and you just crack up.
They paid well for that.
I don't know if they did or not. I just think it was funny.
Your mom's just like a cool person. Yeah. I don't know how it didn't rub off on you. But your mom.
I'm not cool, Darren.
You are cool, man. You are cool.
Cooler than the other side of the pillow.
But look, man, tomorrow's going to be a big day. We'll be out there covering the media day out there with the Kansas City Monarchs. So make sure you're logged on, tune in. We'll have some video as well. We'll do the show. I think we'll do social media tomorrow while we're out there as well.
So, we'll do it big. We'll do it big.
That's the only way I know how to do it.
One thing I do want to talk about, because I just saw this before the show. So everyone knows about Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay and the whole dilemma, debacle, kind of like high school drama, seems like, between Rodgers and the Packers. Well, there could be some underlying effects here. Davante Adams said he is going to have to think long and hard if he's going to stay with Green Bay if Rodgers is going to go. I mean, I'm just saying, though, but if you're Green Bay and you lose Rodgers and then you lose Adams, you're talking full-on rebuild.
Which would be,
you just went from the, NFC championship game to losing Rodgers and Adams. There goes your NFC championship hopes right there.
Here's what's crazy, because I know I heard him talk about it on one of the shows this morning, but this year they were able to get out of Aaron Rodgers' contract without having, you know, because I think most if not all of his guarantee was paid out. I know they paid him his roster bonus of like $6.5 million back in March. But now, if the reports are to be true and they're engaged in conversations with him, instead of you being able to get away from him and move on to Jordan Love, and if you're going to do a rebuild, it could potentially cost you almost $150 million more over the next 3 years, because if he wants a new contract, he's going to want it as close to fully guaranteed as possible. Coming off the MVP season, his salary will be more than what Patrick Mahomes and what not even Deshaun Watson, but Dak Prescott are getting right now, to where now you're holding him hostage. Jordan Love is going to be a perennial bench player, because by the time Aaron Rodgers is done, what value is Jordan Love going to bring you?
Yeah. The report from The Athletic was Aaron Rodgers turned down a Packers offer that would have made him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Really?
Per The Athletic, Aaron Rodgers turned that down. That would have made him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
So then it can't be, well.
So it's not money.
Well.
It must really be bridges burned, because that's absurd.
If that is to be true, I will
sure,
give you
100%,
that.
Yes.
Because Aaron Rodgers, he's a weird dude. You don't know what to, because he might even want more money than the most in NFL history for a quarterback, which, again, maybe he wants $50 million a year, even though, you know, you might make him $45 million plus $1. If that is to be the case, everything obviously that I said, just disregard it. But if he's not going to be there, or if that is true, that that's not what he wants and it's not about the money, you've got to move on from him ASAP, because you've got to decide what you're going to do. I mean, you got to bring in backup quarterbacks. You got to bring up at least a veteran backup that can, you know, so you can put your chips behind Jordan Love going further. And you've really got, the problem is that they should have done this before the draft, so you could have maybe got some pieces during the draft, whether it was with the 40, and I would have made the trade with the 49ers versus with versus the Denver Broncos. Granted, you want them out the division, but they had a better haul of what you could have got you Jimmy Garoppolo and the number 3 pick if you wanted to, along with other draft picks and perhaps a defensive player as well. I mean, you could have gotten all that for Aaron Rodgers, and you would have at least been set for this year to get past this year and then do what you want to do next season.
What's tough is if guys like Davante Adams are going to leave, you're stuck in no man's land, because Adams is on a pretty team-friendly deal.
Well, he was a second rounder, I think. So
It's just you're going to start seeing a max exodus from the Packers probably, because you're not going to win right away with Jordan Love. Sorry. I don't think he's that dude. Obviously, the Packers don't think he's that dude, because they reportedly offered Rodgers most money for an NFL quarterback.
Well, you also got to keep in mind the Packers don't really sign free agents or bring free agents in like that. You know, I know they did Clay Matthews and a few others, but they don't really go after free agents, like most teams do.
Jimmy Graham. They paid a king's ransom for Jimmy Graham.
I'm not saying that they don't get him, but I'm saying they don't go after him as much. I mean, it's not until recently that they've started bringing free agents in, but for a long period of time, I think Charles Woodson might have been one of the first or one of the exceptions where they would go out and pay money, top dollar money, for a free agent, but generally most of their players are all homegrown and stuff.
Yeah. It's just going to be an interesting storyline to watch of the Packers could be a team that goes from NFC favorites, or at least contenders, to NFC, I don't want to say bottom dwellers, because I think they'll be better than Detroit no matter what, but NFC average at best.
If Aaron Rodgers isn't there, then it's a toss-up between the Bears and Minnesota. I would lean toward, man.
I'll take Minnesota.
I would lean towards the Bears if you've got Justin Fields starting, because I trust the defense. I don't. It's not really about the offense, but that defense, I trust. If you got Justin Fields, at least you got Allen Robinson. You got a solid running game.
Quiet, by the way. Remember Allen Robinson, when everyone's talking about, is he going to go somewhere else? Is he leaving? There was a lot of reports.
And you were high on him.
I would have loved Allen Robinson to Kansas City. I just think he's a phenomenal wide receiver who's been in a terrible spot because he's had absolutely trash throwing the football.
So that's the reason why I say if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, I would give the edge to the Bears because I look at the pressure that Matt Nagy is going to be under. You're going to have to get Justin Fields out there in the first month of the season. You know, I think that they may try to go with Andy Dalton just because you brought him in, and depending on how OTAs, rookie minicamp, mini training camp, and then, of course, training camp goes, I think you know, once you see his body of work and you see him in the preseason, I think they're going to have to switch to Justin Fields, especially because you don't want the whole Patrick Mahomes saying, "Oh, how does he look? Oh, he stinks," knowing he's looking good in practice and the reports can see with their own eyes. So I think what you're going to see is if Justin Fields gets in that starting role with the Bears early on, the pressure that Matt Nagy is going to be under to call, at least on the offensive side of the ball, he may just turn the defense over to the defense coordinator. But with Khalil Mack and that defense, I trust them more so than I do, you know, obviously the Detroit Lions, and definitely trust them more than I do Kirk Cousins with the offense in Minnesota.
With the Bears, I wanted to look up Allen Robinson. He signed the franchise tag the year before, so last year, he was very vocal against the franchise tag. He did not want to play underneath it, and he said he probably wasn't going to sign it again. Well, he signed it, and he recently said he's in a pretty good mindset about playing on the franchise tag, change his tune. Apparently, the Bears said, all right, if you're not going to sign this, we're going to go look at Kenny Golladay. Apparently, the next day, Allen Robinson went and signed the $18 million contract.
Well, he signed for $18 million because Kenny Golladay got $20 million. He got $22 million.
Sure,
so
yeah.
I'd be trying to, because I keep thinking I'm not in the air sometimes, because things I would say. But, yeah, I would sign it too. $18 million, that's a whole lot of deep dish pizza you can get.
The thing with Allen Robinson was he was perpetually injured with the Jaguars. No one knew what he was going to bring. And he signed a pretty large, it was a three-year, $42 million contract.
He's not hurting for money.
Yeah, so he $60 million in the past, what, four seasons? Or more than that, if you count the franchise tag last year, I don't even have that in front of me. So probably 75-ish in the past five seasons. You're doing all right.
But, look, you got to keep this in perspective, Sterling, because I always say, like you said, he was kind of injured when he was with the Jaguars. The Jaguars are not a winning organization.
That was when they went to NFC Championship game.
You mean
with
AFC. You talking about the year that they
– with Blake Bortles. He was there with the – he was in Jacksonville when they were at their – quote-unquote peak. Wasn't that what, 2017?
They've only had two peaks, and that's both times they've been to the AFC Championship game. If he is to, well, first of all, he did well by signing the franchise tag, because next year when the salary cap goes up, because it will go up because teams are prepared for 100% capacity, so that's going to automatically bring in more revenues. The TV contracts are going to kick in next year as well, so he did well by signing the franchise tag now. And I think this is the second one, correct?
Yeah, second year in a row.
So they can't do it a third year, so they either have to sign him long term. And depending on the development of Justin Fields, you're going to have to keep him there because he's going to be your number one wide receiver, so you're going to have that relationship. He's going to get paid.
He'll be getting paid whether it's in Chicago or not. Honestly, it puts him in a spot to say, do I want to stay? Depending on what Justin Fields does. If Justin Fields produces like Justin Herbert, he may say, all right, I might stay here. But if all of a sudden he looks like Sam Darnold, he may say, all right, I'm out.
Yeah. You also got to see, you know, like you said, not only how good is he, but where's the team at winning-wise? And what are your chances of advancing in the playoffs? There's going to be a lot of factors involved. Now, we'll say this, just remind people, the full NFL schedule will be released tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern. At 7 o'clock Central, and this is the first time that the NFL, since 1993, will have 18 weeks. Of course, this year, it's still only one bye week. But the first week of the schedule will be released tomorrow morning, and that is saying that via multiple reports and accounts, the various network partners will release their week one schedules tomorrow morning. For NBC, that means two key games for the opening week, the Thursday night opener, which of course will be at Tampa Bay, and the Sunday night game for the first week of the season. So I could see a scenario where it could feature Kansas City, but I think if you're if you're the Chiefs or if you're the networks, you're kind of waiting to put the Chiefs on a little bit in the either in the middle or towards the latter end of the season. So I posted this on Facebook, and I'm curious. And, of course, if you want to call in, you can at 913-491-8255. Who would you like to see Kansas City face in their week one matchup, whether it's home or on the road? Of course, we don't know yet until the schedule is released tomorrow. Me personally, I like for them to get the Bengals game out the way.
Sure,
I'd rather the Chiefs be it because it's a road game. I'd rather go to Cincinnati and then you know get that win and let them build momentum off of that. And I said it to say that, hey, that's probably the only city I'll probably fly in the night before and then leave. Try to leave right after the game. Because Cincinnati is just Cincinnati. It's nothing spectacular. The only thing about Cincinnati that I plan on doing or plan on enjoying is when Steve and I do our pregame show is playing the WKRP in Cincinnati theme song.
There you go.
That's it. That is it.
I actually think I'd agree probably the Cincinnati game would be the best. Get an easier game out of the way. You're already getting a road game under your belt. If not, I wouldn't mind a Broncos game.
Too early. Well, no, you know
it's too early. I get it.
Yeah, you don't do that.
But
you asked
if I could just pick one. The Broncos are going to be bad. You might as well get one of those out of your way. Start off 1-0 in the division. That'd be nice. But no, I think Cincinnati would make sense. It'd be good for Kansas City. I would like it because you're only having three preseason games. They're not going to be playing probably a lot in the preseason to begin with as far as Kelce and Hill and Mahomes.
See, that's the other thing, too. We don't even know the three teams that they plan on playing for preseason, which really makes me mad because I wish Cincinnati would have been that preseason game.
But. If I don't know how much they're going to play as far as the starters and the studs because they've been playing together for so long at this point, with Hill, Mahomes, and Kelce, maybe that week one is kind of a tune-up game to begin with. I would like them to have an easier matchup, at least on paper, because Joe Burrow was fine and the offense looked decent for Cincinnati when he was healthy last year, but that defense was atrocious. The offensive line for Cincy's not great. Maybe Chris Jones can get some early confidence. Maybe Frank Clark can actually get a sack or two and start off on the right foot this season. That would be nice to see.
Looking at the Chiefs' opponents for home and away, their first home game, man, I'm just wondering. I can't see it being the Cowboys. I can't see it being the NFC East team. I can't see it being the Green Bay Packers. I'm thinking it's either Steelers, Browns, or the Bills. I just can't see. It's too early for a divisional matchup. I know they will play the Chargers, but they generally will play the Chargers on the road in the first month of the season. So I see the Chargers because generally they have the Chiefs AFC opponents come later in the season, like the Chargers and the Raiders generally come in December when it's cold, and maybe it's a good advantage to have. So, gosh darn it, man. I could see
the Steelers, Bills, or Browns would be good for the NFL to put week one. It's going to be any three of those games, you could say, oh, that could be a playoff matchup later down the road. So you could at least hype it up, talk it up. The NFL.
I think it's going to be the Steelers. I think the Steelers are going to be the first home.
That's
game.
The easiest of the three.
I think either the Steelers or the – well, now I think about it, it could be the Steelers or the Giants, but
– sure, bring the Giants in here. At this point, though, if you're Kansas City, you're going to play all these teams anyways. I get scheduling matters and makes a difference. They don't –
schedule is more so for, I believe, for fans. Well, look, the players enjoy it. The players, they're going to do the same thing that we're doing. They're going to be looking at the schedule, and they're going to be like – okay, we should be getting a W here. We should get in the win there. Trust
I can't
me.
Wait for my favorite spot to eat here. I can't wait for buffalo wings and they probably have the same stuff too.
You know what? But see,
you said that about Cincinnati. Players are probably thinking the exact same thing. What the hell am I going to do in Cincinnati for?
But here's the thing. The thing is, knowing how the Chiefs operate, and because still living in the world of COVID,
sure,
they'll still travel the day before. But I think now they'll just They won't allow the NFL, I still believe, will not allow players to venture outside. I think they'll still be in their own protective bubble. So I still see them traveling the day before, going to the hotel and just doing everything inside the hotel. So you won't really get a chance to go out. It'll be
more
so.
Be about your business. Just be about your business. And the Chiefs have been pretty good about that for the most part. They got rid of Kareem Hunt, who kind of ventured outside of that.
No, not when he was with the team. Yeah.
Before COVID, I'm telling you. But just in general, they seem to be all with one common goal.
He didn't venture out, but okay.
Well, you never heard, there's a lot of rumblings about the power and light incidences and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that was after the season, wasn't it?
Still wasn't good look. My point is it's still not something that I don't think the Chiefs are going to be. My point is the Chiefs have been pretty much going by a very one goal, one mindset, stay out of trouble. The guys, when they hang out in the offseason, it's video games, it's basketball, hush-hush, but not Patrick Mahomes. They don't let him do that. They said, hey, they nixed that real quick.
Chiefs should probably be nixing that for a lot of their players anyway, especially
Tyreek. Yeah, seeing Tyreek Hill dunk, I'm like, dude, please stop.
Yeah, you know, look, and if you're a fan, I'm going to be just like them. I'm going to be tuned in. Well, stuff will leak throughout the day because I remember – was it last year? No, 2 years ago when I knew the Chiefs were playing in Mexico. I was working at Spectrum before I came to the station. And basically that morning, stuff started trickling. Like, okay. And it was like Kansas City, November, blah, 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 Mexico City. ChiefTickets.com. Hey.
They've done that where it's been right, where it leaks early. I remember it a couple years ago.
All the teams do that.
So. Well, no, I remember a couple years ago they leaked it and it was not even close. I remember a popular one that was circulating on Twitter that was leaked. If someone knows the year, that'd be fantastic. I remember that, though, a few years ago, and it wasn't even close to being correct. And everyone's like, okay, that's the last time we listened to some random person on Twitter to give insight. Did you see Tom Bahali's one-day contract yesterday? Did you see all the highlights and stuff from it?
I ran across some of the Chiefs' Twitter side. Yeah.
I think it encapsulates when he walked up those stairs. Dude looked 85. He gave his heart and soul to Kansas City every single play. Everyone always talked about
all. He left it on the field.
He left it on the field. Mitch Holtis, all the former players. You know, Brandon Flowers is out there saying this dude gave it all. They said he would do his workouts crazy so he could get a second wind out early. I mean, Tom Bahali was just an incredibly hard worker. And when you saw him walk up those stairs, you saw what went into that, because his body looked bruised, beaten, and he hasn't played in multiple seasons. So it's just one of those things. We have to respect Tom Bahali for leaving it all out there on the field.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's in line. Obviously, he would come after DJ, Derek Johnson, and a few others to get on that ring of honor. You know, ring of
sure,
honor.
Yeah.
But he's definitely going. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. The good thing is that, you know, now that you see the talent that the Chiefs have, that, you know, that they're coming through, man, you got a lot of players that's now that's going to have a chance to get up to that ring of honor. And I think they're going to have to build it to where you have a second level, because sooner or later you're going to be running out of names and spaces.
Dude, the Chiefs have just been, well, they've been a storied franchise for so long, historic. They've had some phenomenally important players of the history of the NFL.
True.
You're going to have a second ring. You're going to have to. It's getting crowded up there as is. Think about when these current guys retire. Because you know Travis Kelce's a lock. You know Patrick and Tyreek Hill are locks. I would assume even before Eric Berry, Justin Houston, are they going to be up there? I would say so.
How long? I'm pretty sure Berry, but how long was Justin Houston here?
I would say long enough.
No, I don't know. Eric Fisher.
Eric Fisher's probably going to be there. Mitchell Schwartz has a good case. I mean, I know Schwartz was in here a long time, but
I'm not going to go there. That's like 4 years. I'm not, you know.
I'm just saying there's going to be a lot of names to look at when it's all said and done. It's going to be really interesting. I'm not going there. That was silly.
Who was you thinking?
Nah, I'm not even going to say it.
You think the same thing I was, Kareem Hunt, huh?
I was thinking, would anyone like an Anthony Sherman who's been here for so long, obviously not an intricate part of the team by any means, but someone who was here so long, no.
Nah, because I can think of other players. I can think of players who played for the team. I think Kimball Anders needs to be in that ring of honor.
Sure.
And he's just somebody right off the bat I can think of.
They're not as – the Chiefs aren't as stingy as some teams, and even the Kansas City Royals for an extent. You know, they got three guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the Royals are – it's not like that. Baseball's always been a little bit more intricate, and especially with this Chiefs.
Now I think about it, Royals should have had a whole – they should have a whole lot more in there. There really isn't a reason why they should only have three.
And that's just at least numbers retired. That's numbers retired.
Yeah,
because
it's what, Dick Houser, George Bett, and Frank White, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to have Hal McCray, Willie Wilson, Otis. Man, there's a lot. Yeah,
I mean, the list goes on and on. So the Chiefs are a little more.
Brett Saberhagen.
The Chiefs show you off a little more. If you are good for the Chiefs for a long time, they tend to show you off more so than the Royals. So I just think it's a good point to bring up is maybe a second Ring of Honor will be implemented by the time this round of dudes retired.
Looking at the Chiefs away games, of course, you know, got the home and home with Denver, Chargers, Raiders. But I want to look at the other five. Ravens, Bengals, Washington, Philly, Tennessee. Out of those five, I think the Baltimore game is going to be the toughest. I think it's going to be the most hard-hitting game, too, that the Chiefs are going to face. I think the Tennessee Titans game is going to be second. You know, that's a game that Kansas City should have circled because they went down there. They should have won a game. It was when Patrick returned from injury, and they lost that game. I think it was 33-31 or 35-33, something like that. I remember watching the end of that game next to Mark Donovan, and he was not happy that they lost that game. I remember that very well. Philly, obviously, return of Andy Reid.
They're going to be bad. I don't think they're going to be anything. The Eagles will be bad. The Bills will be good. The thing with Tennessee is Tennessee shouldn't scare Kansas City. They shouldn't have scared them last year. But I understand that. I think Tennessee probably misses the playoffs this year. I just think the AFC at this point has gotten a lot deeper, and I think they're going to be the outside looking in. I think their defense is too bad. Mahomes should go over the top.
But what they will do is that they will challenge the Chiefs, especially when it comes to their run defense.
Nick Bolton could hopefully have a big impact here. This is where Nick Bolton hopefully
and Willie Gay.
Sure.
You know, they're two young studs, but, you know, put their feet to the fire. I get it. You don't think they're going to make the playoffs. But still got Derrick Henry, whatever we think of the quarterback. You know, they're going to run the football. They're going to challenge because the best way for them to beat Kansas City is to keep Patrick on the sideline. So what they're going to, because Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah.
He can't go, you know, throw for throw with Patrick. That's a battle that you're not going to win. That's what I'm saying. It's a battle that you're not going to win. So in that particular game, they're going to need to rely on Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry generally has decent games against the Chiefs in his career. So that's going to be what they need to do to beat Kansas City in that particular game.
The only way to beat Kansas City is going deep. We've seen it time and time again. The only way to beat Kansas City is to go deep.
You're going to have to mix it up. But that's how the Raiders did it.
The Raiders said, you know what? Screw it. We're going to go deep, and if we lose, we lose. But we're not going to
– But they also had the personnel, too, Sterling.
They have Derek Carr at quarterback. Ryan Tannehill's leagues better than Derek Carr. They have A.J. Brown. They are better than the Raiders.
Raiders are known to have speed. They built
AJ Brown has speed.
They built their team out to beat Kansas City, which is what they did last year.
But how'd they beat them? Wasn't by running the football. It was by going deep.
Kansas City kind of killed themselves too with two touchdowns that were called back on penalty. So that hurt. The Washington football team. Now that's going to be it's going to be a good game because Washington being the number two ranked defense last year, if they come back and looking anything like they did, we get a chance to see what Patrick can do against that type of defense because, you know, this will be the first time Patrick has gone up against the NFC East in his career, I believe. So,
yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they did go down to Dallas, I think his rookie year, but he was on the bench. So,
I think that Washington will be a decent team this year. The only chance they have of making the playoffs is not going to be a wild card spot. It's going to have to be you have to win that division, which is bad. I think the Cowboys should have it locked up, but they've been bitten by the injury bug of late. The past few seasons, they've been they look like the Chargers.
If their defense is improved, then yes, I would give that to you because they had a horrendous defense last year.
Yeah, we'll see because, as much as we kind of, especially you, poo-pooed Alex Smith with what he did with Washington last year, he did go, what, 5-1, 5-2? I mean, he carried them to the playoffs last year. I don't want to say carried, but the team obviously turned around. Dwayne Haskins wasn't getting it done, and then Tyler Heinicke did what he did. He was a flash in the pan. I have no idea if he's going to stand.
I think that was more of a good coaching performance by Ron Rivera.
Sure.
Because that was,
sure.
Because they were hanging on by a prayer. And again, that division was so bad last year.
Someone had to make it.
Yeah, because even when Dak Prescott was healthy, they were still like 2-3, 2-4 before he had that, you know, that horrible injury. So
yeah, I forgot about the Falcons game where the Falcons had just a historic collapse again. The Falcons and the Chargers are the same team. You can't convince me differently. They are big fans of historic collapses on just a magnitude, and the amount of times it happens in a season is just unbelievable.
It just popped in my head. Why are we going to Baltimore again? We just went there last year.
So that way, maybe the NFL can finally promote this as a even game. They need Lamar to win one to make this matchup appealing.
I mean, but it was a Monday night game last year.
Sure. They need Lamar to win one. That's what they're trying. They're like, maybe if we keep sending them, they'll have to lose eventually, and then we can finally promote this Lamar Mahomes.
Well, which is what
future.
They've been doing for the schedule release. But I am looking forward to that game because I know I'll be on Baltimore radio that weekend when the game happens. So I know we got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back with more. You're listening to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Abracadabra, form of a bedroom. Now add a little candlelight in the scent of your sweet perfume.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Making radio magic on this Tuesday. What if we just talk like that just in the little sultry voice right here? We could do it. We could do a whole show just talking like we're Charlie Wilson.
Oh, I can't talk like that, but.
Yeah. You gotta hit the high notes though too. You know, like Westbrook.
I'm not trying to turn our listeners off, man. not by trying to sing.
I think you mean on, Darren. I'm kidding. That was a bad pun. That was just
very
that
bad,
was...
Sterling.
Dude, come on. It's a Tuesday, rainy outside.
It's not raining,
gloomy. I'm out here just trying to, I don't know, have some fun, I guess. Sorry for trying to have fun, Darren.
It's all good, man. I'm just not trying. I'm not in the mood to be turning people on.
Your words, not mine, man. I'm kidding. Let's talk Westbrook with his historic nights. Stands alone as the triple-double king. Passes the big O, Oscar Robertson. Is he finally starting to get the respect he deserves? People, I feel like, are less and less calling him a stat padder and are starting to appreciate what he has done for the game of basketball.
Well, here's the thing. I believe that he's already had players respect, his peers respect, more so the media, because if you look at it from our point of view, he puts up great numbers, but it doesn't really translate to wins, or at least when it matters most. And so he did a good thing. I mean, I believe, you know, I watched that game yesterday. I watched it for different reasons, of course. But, you know, he plays hard, man. He leaves everything out there on the floor. I remember, you know, when I was in high school, maybe even freshman year in college, that I had that type of energy. I could run around all day and, you know, run up and down, and, you know, the court and stuff. I don't have it no more, man. It's not that I don't have that desire either, because I do. I'd be wanting to hit the gym. I'd just be wanting to get on the treadmill or something. But he just, you know, he is someone that hits the weight room. He's also someone that, you know, has that nice endurance, because he has to bulk up because he has to go inside because he's trying to, you know, go down in the land of giants, get rebounds, stuff like that. He's able to run the fast break up and down the court. He plays deep. He plays hard defensively. He goes all out. So, I mean, he'll never cheat you. But the problem is he can play with other guys that's as talented or more talented than him, such as a Durant or James Harden or Bradley Beal. But again, his game doesn't translate to wins for teams to where you can win a championship with that type of performance.
I think it's unfair to label him as that just yet. I know he's getting up there. I get it. But he also hasn't played. I mean, outside of OKC and even the Houston team, he's never been on a team that was expected to do anything great. NBA is one of those places where either you're on LeBron's team or you were the Warriors with a super team, or maybe you're the Nets this year, which is another super team. The Bucks kind of got it because of Giannis. I'm not saying he's Giannis by any means. My whole thing is NBA is a little bit more predictable, at least over the past 12 seasons. For a long time, it was Lakers, and then it was the Spurs. You know, it's unfair to say he can't win because he just hasn't been on phenomenal teams. He's been on some good teams. But this Washington team, for example, they're a bad team. And right now, they are going to be at least in a play-in game.
Well, no. I mean, I'm with you there, but you got to remember, I mean, he did make it to the NBA Finals along with Kevin Durant, you know,
sure.
the first foray. And they also had Golden State down three games to one, I believe it was, or something. Yeah, 3-1.
Yep.
Well, that was the year that they won 73 ball games, and then they lost in the Western Conference Finals, and Kevin Durant ended up leaving after that season, going to Golden State to win two more titles at that time. So, I don't want to say he's a hard player to coach or hard player to play with, but because of that talent, because of what you know that you're going to get from him, it makes it hard to put the pieces around him because you try to surround him with other scorers, but he feels like he's the best scorer on the team. You put him with another ball handler where he wants the ball in his hands as a point guard. And, you know, he will allow big men to get rebounds, but because he's so of the mindset, I got to get a triple-double, whether it's to average a triple-double for a season or up until last night to get closer and closer to breaking Oscar Robertson's triple-double record, that, you know, now he may just be trying to get these triple-doubles to put himself further ahead from anybody to be, you know, ever be able to touch his record.
I don't think he does it. I know people say it's a stat padding thing. I don't think he does it for just the stats. I think it's because he's that much of a gamer.
No, there have been games he's done just for stats. I mean, a rebound will come off the free throw, and the big men are there, and they know not to touch it because he's trying to get the rebound.
Also, it's a basketball thing. They play fast paced. If you're gonna have your big man get it and pass to Westbrook, why not just have Westbrook get it and push it himself? I mean, there are strategic reasons of why he's been in a situation to get offensive rebounds, but I think the main one is just his hustle and desire for the ball. You can't take that away from him. I mean, there's a reason why we don't see – I mean, guys want triple-doubles.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can get a triple-double. There's a reason why he's alone right now in the history books. Robinson was the leader since the 1962 season. If you don't know anything about the 62 season
– Well, Robertson.
Yeah, Oscar Robertson.
Well, you said Robinson.
Sorry, Robertson.
There's I'm trying a, to think, like, who you
There's
about?
A reason why – I talk fast. There's a reason why it's been since 1962. 62 – was when it was the fastest pace in basketball. This is when shots were going up at unprecedented rates. You had Wilt average 50 and 25.
You also had eight teams at that time, too.
I think you had more than that. But you had Wilt averaging 50 and 25. There's a good book on this. Wilt averaged 50 and 25. Big O averaged a triple-double. Elgin Baylor, who was in the Army on the weekends, so he had to fly and connect like seven flights, like every other day, averaged 38, like 15 and 6. He didn't get to practice. Like, I love Elgin Baylor and all this stuff, but the whole point of saying is everything was inflated in these couple seasons leading up to 1962. That was the pinnacle of this era of basketball. There's a reason why it hasn't been done since then. Russell Westbrook is just phenomenal and I think needs more credit because there's a reason why it's been, what, 80 years? 60 years. I'm bad at math. 60 years.
Good gosh.
Dude, it was a 20-year off thing. I get it. 60 years.
A lot of money your parents spent on private school, and this is the best we get.
I'm not good at math. And not private school. Blue Valley North, baby. I'm not good at math.
Look, man, I
freely, I read books.
I freely told folks what I did in my senior year in college. But, look, again, Russell Westbrook gets the credit from his peers. I mean, you saw the comments that were trending on Twitter last night. So, you know, respect and admiration I think they get because they know how hard and they know he leaves everything out there on the court. But again, in this day and age in our business, Jonas, it's about what? Wins and losses. And it doesn't translate to wins when it matters most. Because look, let's say they get in the play-in game and they win and they get, you know, they play whoever they face as the number one seed. Well, is it going to be more important for him to win or is it going to be more important for him to average a triple-double in the series?
Oh, it's more important to win, and I think he knows
that. It's more important to win to us, but for him.
I think it's more important to win for him, too. I think he thinks that he has to get a triple-double for them to have any chance of winning. He is shot less. He's been more efficient, especially since about halfway through the season, he started deferring to Bradley Beal. He didn't in this game. He took the last three, clanked
it. Well, Beal wasn't in the game, but yeah.
But my point is, once he started deferring to Bradley Beal, we're starting to see him put up 20-20. We're starting to see him not shoot as many shots, be more efficient, not jack up as many threes. I think has redefined his game. He's just on a bad team. You can't say with a straight face this Wizards team is any good. You take Russ off it.
I wouldn't want to fix my face to say that.
But you can't say, it doesn't translate to wins when look around him. You have the Houston Rockets surrounding him besides Bradley Beal.
Houston Rockets, really.
They're bad. They're bad.
Rockets have been knocking off some teams lately. First of all, one reason for him to defer to Bill because Bill is 1-2 when it comes to scoring in the league with Steph. So, try to do it now. He's been injured. He's been out, I think, a game or two, and will be out for another game. When they come back tomorrow and they run it back again against the Hawks tomorrow, are we going to see a one-point game? Or are we going to see a game where I believe he gets another triple-double, but is it going to be more so where they're down 12, 13 points, you bring them back only to lose by one? Or is it, I don't know how that game is going to go. I don't know how he's going to bounce back after getting the record.
What he does, man. He's the only guy in the NBA to average double-digit assists right now. He's at 11.6. Second is 9.5. And I get assists don't always tell the full story because James Harden averaged a lot of assists while jacking up all the shots.
Harden should be at 11, but I think he might have dropped out because of his injury. I don't think he's got enough assists to qualify.
I just think he needs more credit than what he gets. I think this is the first year where I think people can take the numbers and some of the analytics and say he's finally starting to become a little bit more efficient.
You're the analytical guy. I just want you to know that.
I know I am. That's what I'm here for.
Okay.
I do want to say just quickly, how impressive is the Steph Curry points per game, 3 points made? It's getting absurd. 49 points in 29 minutes.
No, 50 points.
That was 49 and 29.
No, that was Bradley Beal who had 49, but he had 50 points. Stroller. Steph Curry had 50 points the other day.
In 29 minutes?
In 29 minutes.
All right.
That was a whole controversy.
With Kent Bazemore.
Yeah.
And Kent Bazemore had the best response saying, I'm going to go, doesn't bother me, I'm going to go home, watch Peaky Blinders and love my wife. Yeah, that was just okay.
I missed that part. I just.
Yeah, that was great. When I asked about it, because, Beal kind of got upset about it. And then after Beal had his spiel, get your name out of my mouth. Someone asked Bazemore, are you concerned about what Beal said about you? He goes, first off, it was a joke. Second, no, I'm going to go home, put on Peaky Blinders, and love my wife.
Wow.
What do you say for that? Just, all right, good job, Bazemore.
That's all you can say.
Yeah.
No, I love Steph. Again, I just hate it where the dude shoots like three of 13, 3 of 19 yesterday from the three-point line. They won that game against the Jazz. But
they won. They beat a very good Jazz team.
Well, they're the best team in the league. So I think they're more than pretty good. But
that's my point. Give them credit.
I give them credit.
It worked.
I give them credit. But you were talking about how efficient he's been. I'm like, well, he was like
he has been efficient. He's not going to go 70% from three every night, Darren.
I need him to.
Well, I know you do, but that's why you don't bet on stuff. He is the best shooter in NBA history. Not even close.
If he's the best shooter in NBA history, then I should be able to count on him.
No one That's like saying, well, why doesn't he hit a home run every time up at plate in baseball? It's not feasible. It's not a realistic expectation.
How many points did you score yesterday?
I have enough to win.
No, I'm mad. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. I just want to know how many points he scored in yesterday's game. Because I know, now here's the thing. Can they do the same
36.
Thing? 36. See, I had him for 36, too, and that's what they had him, so he hit it. But
41, 37, 34, 49, and 36 in his last five games.
That's a lot of damn points. That's a lot. So what's he scored tonight against Phoenix?
Oh, man. Is Devin Booker on him or is Chris Paul? Chris Paul's a nuisance.
I don't think it matters who's on him.
I get it, but Chris Paul's a nuisance. Chris Paul is like the old guy at the YMCA that you just hate. He's grabbing your shorts, giving you little hip checks. Like the kind of guy that like lets you shoot, and you're like, wait, you're going to let me shoot? And it gets in your head. That's what Chris Paul is.
I think Vin is pretty much at full strength tonight. So you think he gets 36 again tonight?
Oh, man. According to what he's been doing, I think that's about a minimum assessment.
But he's taking a lot of shots to get there, too, though.
Who else are you going to pass to?
No, you want
Draymond jacking up shots?
Oh, no, Draymond did well last night. I can't, you know.
Oh, dude, come on.
Draymond was in double figures. I think he had like 15 points.
I'm never going to complain when Steph shoots because he's the best shooter in NBA history.
Yeah, Draymond had a double. He had 12 points and 10 assists. Oh, now you know who stepped up? Looney stepped up lately.
Kevin Looney.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna sit here with a straight face and say, you know what? Kevin Looney needs more shots. Let's take some shots away from Steph.
No. I had him for 7 rebounds last night. He got 13. I'm good.
Okay.
He's good. Look, I need players to do what I need them to do when I need them to do it. All that other stuff is irrelevant to me.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish the show out.
Steph Curry was 3-13, man. That's not good efficiency from the three-point line.
Guess what? 36 and a dub against the best team in the West seems good enough.
11 or 12 from the free throw line.
There you go. That's efficient. Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. All right, Darren, do the Royals get back in the win column?
They don't have to. What's it, like 8 games in a row they've
lost? Dude, it's brutal. They are struggling.
Shit went out of talent. But if there's any chance that you're going to – oh, hell, I didn't realize Jordan Clarkson had 41 points last night.
Dude, guess what?
I'm sorry.
0 assists. 41 points, 33 shots. Dude's green
33
light.
Hold on, here's the thing. I had him for like – four 3-point shots. He was 5. What I initially saw, and I turned off the game, he was like 0 for like 9 from 3. I was like, well, he's like, then I look at it now, 5 of 16.
What do you expect from a dude who learned from Kobe, Lou Williams, J.R. Smith, and Dion Waiters? Yeah, this is the baby you formed is Jordan Clarkson. That's a Mamba mentality. 33 shots, 41 points, 0 assists. He's like, give me the ball. This light is green. They're like, Jordan, no, you're 37 feet away, double teamed. Light's green.
No, I'm.
He was running through red lights last night.
Gosh, I got to go back and look and see what my parlay was. Well, it wouldn't matter. But yeah, if I'd have just done that, particularly him by himself. Whew, yeah, he balled out. Royals, I think the fact that they're facing the Detroit Tigers, I think they swept them last time they played. I do like the Royals' chances of winning straight up. I mean, I put a bet on them, so I got them winning. Whether or not they go over or under, to me, becomes irrelevant because I just think they need to score some runs and do whatever they can to, you know, turn the bats on.
We just need them to win. At this point, yeah. I don't care how they do it. I don't care if it's the bats. I don't care if Brady Singer goes out and throws a gem. They just need a win. It's Singer against Matthew Boyd. Honestly, they've had very good seasons so far for both teams. Boyd has a 2.27 ERA. Matthew Boyd would be maybe their ace at this point. Detroit's just not a good team.
That is true.
I mean, this couldn't come at a better time for Kansas City as far as a team you're going to break out of a slump. The White Sox are a good team. Detroit's not a good team. You got to beat Detroit. You got to do it. If you want to stay in this AL Central race, which just, what, a week ago we were saying how they were doing great, and now we're saying just to stay in it, you got to beat Detroit. You got to do it.
But can they do it?
I think so. I think this is the time where they had the off day. Off day could not have come at a better time yesterday. So I think they regrouped. They're back. Brady Singer's been their guy this year as far as a starting pitcher. So I like it. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with the Royals. I think it's a low-scoring game. I don't think the bats wake up completely yet, but I'm going to go with the Royals.
Be real mad if the bats light up tonight and it goes over 8.
Cause it's like 16-2. The Royals just, you know, Soler hits a couple bombs and Salvi does his thing.
And then, well, no, you hope that you don't, because then the first thing you're going to do is like, well, what was that this last week?
Yeah. So. You know what? They gotta wake up sometime.
Sterling, let everybody know where we're going to be at tomorrow, what we're going to be doing.
We'll be at the Monarchs tomorrow, Media Day, doing our show live from the Monarchs Stadium. Going to be an absolute blast. Probably sit down with the owner, maybe a player, a coach, have fun. So tune in tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. This is Darren and Sterling.